Jeremiah chapter 5. Run back and forth through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places of it, if you can find a man, if there are any who does justice, who seeks truth, and I will pardon her. So Jeremiah running around the streets and squares of Jerusalem, trying to find if there's even somebody for God. This really looks forward to how God is in search of man. You remember how he says, I have found David my servant. He's like the good shepherd out looking for the sheep. So he's not just indifferent, saying, well, it's up to you if you want to come to me. I'm here for you. But he is actually going out searching for us. And that's why when he finds us and we're searching for him and he's searching for us and we meet, there is this huge joy in heaven. Though they say, as Yahweh lives, surely they swear falsely. They didn't really act as if God is real, as if he really is alive. Now, if God is and he's alive, that demands our all. It's not just an idea. O Yahweh, don't your eyes look on truth? You've stricken them, but they were not grieved. You consumed them, but they've refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They've refused to repent. Then I said, surely these are poor, they're foolish. They don't know the way of Yahweh, nor the law of their God. I will go to the great men and will speak to them, for they know the way of Yahweh. But these, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So he appeals to the poor people, they don't want to know. He appeals to the educated people, they don't want to know. How can I pardon you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by what are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery. They would have fed horses roaming at large, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. So when I fed them to the full, then they did this. So many times we're told this, that when God blessed his people materially, then they sinned the more. Jeshurun became fat and kicked, as Moses said. That's why Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom. It's not surprising that God often doesn't give his children wealth, because there is the continual connection in the Bible between being wealthy, or having wealth, getting hold of wealth rather, and sinning. So God wants us in his kingdom, right? And that should be our number one desire. So it's not a case of get wealthy now. We want to be in the kingdom. And wealth very often stops people being there, so we don't want it if it's going to stop us getting there. Shouldn't I punish them for these things, says Yahweh? Shouldn't my soul be avenged on a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but don't make a full end. Take away her branches, for they are not Yahweh's. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me. They have denied Yahweh and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come on us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. So God hates particularly the idea that, well, God is not going to judge me. It's as if to say, I don't really care about my sin, it's not that serious, the judgment isn't going to come. And I think more than the sin itself, God hates the attitude that says, I haven't sinned, or it's not particularly serious, what's your problem, I'm not going to be judged for that. God hates that more than he hates the sin itself. Behold, I will bring a nation on you from far, house of Israel, a mighty nation, a nation whose language you don't know. Their quiver is an open tomb, they are all mighty men. They shall eat up your harvest and your bread, they shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall beat down your cities. In those days, says Yahweh, I will still not make a full end with you. God is always hoping against hope for someone to repent. It will happen when you say, why has Yahweh done all these things to us? Then you shall say to them, just like you've forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in Judah, hear now this foolish people and without understanding, who have eyes and don't see, who have ears and don't hear. That is, you could understand, but you choose not to. Don't you fear me, says Yahweh? Won't you tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it can't pass it? And though its waves toss, yet they can't prevail. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. Neither do they say in their heart, Let us now fear Yahweh our God, who gives rain, the former and the latter rain in its season. So he keeps on criticizing the state of their heart, that they had a rebellious heart, and they don't say in their heart, Let's fear the God who gives us our rain. So the biggest thing he finds wrong with them is their heart, far more than the physical actions. You see the huge importance attached to the heart, to the mind, to how you think. And that is the essence of being a believer in God, to think in the way of his Spirit. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withheld good from you. Among my people are found wicked men. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they became great and grew rich. They've grown fat. They shine. They excel in deeds of wickedness. They don't plead the cause of the fatherless that they may prosper. They don't judge the right of the needy. So the thing that God noticed particularly, despite all their sins of idolatry and all sorts of terrible things, was that they didn't care for the poor and needy. That is obviously so significant to God, what your attitude is to the fatherless and the poor and the needy. Shall I not punish for these things, says Yahweh? That is the sins of omission, the way they had not cared for the poor. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this, a nation that don't care for the needy? An astonishing and horrible thing has happened. The prophets prophesy falsely. They're saying, this is what God says, when it isn't what he says. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end of it? So the people loved it like this, where people were saying, oh yeah, this is what God thinks, when it wasn't at all what God thinks. And, of course, the principles of all these things apply to us today.